No.
Aren't you in the wrong room, Mr. Bone?
Not from where I'm standing.
Since you are here, would you mind giving me something to put on?
Anyway, I'm very glad to see you again, Mr. Bone.
I'm glad to see you again.
Welcome to the James Bond Complex. My name is Matt.
My name is Edgar.
Excellent. We are a podcast that covers the entire James Bond phenomenon from Fleming to film and, of course, everything in between.
Ooh.
And today, you know, my hair is kind of long.
I noticed. Well, so is mine, actually.
I feel very underdressed. Like my shirt is all screwy. My hair is long. I haven't shaved.
It's nice powder
you
blue.
You look like I look like a bum. You almost look like a bum.
You're trying.
Trying to look.
Am I succeeding?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, I think, you know what, you're going to beat me soon. You have a thicker beard than I do. I have like a stubble. You know, we need to class this joint up. We've done casual Bond of the 1960s. Mm-hmm. We've done tactical Bond.
Tactical. I'm still disappointed that you didn't appreciate my inclusion of the tactical tux. I did not. I still don't understand how. I mean, anyway.
It's a tux. It doesn't
it's a tactical
count.
Tux.
But it's
a tux. Tactical tux.
It's a tux.
Anyway.
Doesn't count. Anyway, you know what? We need a little bit more. Like we know more class, but also touch, a special touch. A feminine touch.
Ooh.
So we have two guests to discuss. The episode is named Tailored for the Ladies of the 1960s, right? That's the name we gave this episode.
That's what we'll put on the poster.
We have Jocelyn of Ladies Ubond. Is that the right? Am I messing?
Ladies That Bond.
Ladies That Bond. We have Jocelyn.
No. Ubond.
Ladies Ubond.
You had it right.
Okay.
You're right.
Thank you. And we have Melanie from Bird, James Bird.
Burb.
Burb is the word.
Burb. Oh, sorry.
Burb, James Burb.
Did I mention that English is not my original first language? I might make a mess of things every once in a while. So we're here to discuss the fashion choices that are made for the actresses who portrayed Bond ladies, Bond villainesses, or even Bond background girls of all shapes and size this episode.
In my email to Melanie and Jocelyn, I sort of gave example. It could be casual, formal, military, and I think I wrote something like, but I'm writing military, but I can't remember if anybody's wearing military. There is one, my girl, Rosa Claire.
You know, I almost put her on the list, but I said, oh, Edgar's going to put her on his list. I don't even need to worry about that.
I will obey your orders. Good. Now, these are your instructions. You report to me here.
Yes.
But the consulate security man must not know that I'm in Istanbul. This is classified far above his level.
I will say nothing to
anyone. If you do, you will be shot. Come, my dear. You are very fortunate to have been chosen for such a simple, delightful duty. A real labor of love.
Melanie, Jocelyn, welcome to the James Bond Complex.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having us.
We're thrilled to have you on board. Not just for this episode, although obviously that plays a big role, but you're very interesting and engaging people in the Bond fan community. And frankly, looking back to, I edited the Christmas special this year, and everybody sent in very good entries. It was all interesting. Everybody came with their A game. That being said, one of you wrote poetry, the other one sang a Christmas carol. I was like, They put a little bit of backbone into this one. This is, I was not expecting this, so that was very exciting. That really it told me, not as if I hadn't known it already, but it told me that they care deeply about when they participate in James Bond stuff. So we thank you for that, by the way.
Thank you.
Thank you for including us. It's so much fun.
It was a hell of an episode to edit.
It's always fun. Those the Christmas episodes, we always have to, like, I don't know what we'll do next year, but we always have to come up an idea to.
Well, we did come up with, like, if there is a No Time to Die, it'll just be like, give us your No Time to Die reviews. Spoilers for the 2021 Christmas special, if we have a movie. But we're going to be talking about, before we get to the clothing, maybe let's get to know Melanie and Jocelyn a little bit. Why James Bond? Why do you keep coming back to it? Why do you love it so much? When did it start? Melanie?
Let's see. I think, like most people, I was introduced to James Bond by my dad. I have an older brother as well. He's 16 years my elder. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, when you're a little kid, you want to be like the big kids, you know, like my big brother. I thought he was the coolest. And the one movie that really did it for me, I grew up in Louisiana. Oh. And I will never forget watching Live and Let Die. My dad got it. I think my brother was home from college or something like that. And everyone was around, sitting around at Christmas time. My dad picked it up from the video store. And getting to see a spy tool around the swamps of Louisiana, mm-hmm. I was sold. It was the coolest thing ever. And just really kind of fell into it. It was a way for me to sort of a daddy-daughter bonding thing. Bonding. Oh, pun intended. And so I've been a Bond fan for decades. But it was only recently I've started to really get more heavily involved in the Bond community. And of course, that's been thanks to the COVID restrictions.
Hmm. Thank you, COVID.
You know, I had been following message boards and such for years and started a account for Burb just for fun. I wanted to provide something light. Because we were experiencing, it was really hard on all of us and just add some levity to the situation. Yeah. And so I started a James Bond parody. So hence.
Right. This episode started swimmingly.
So that's kind of, and of course, that's how I met the two of you and Jocelyn and have had so much fun participating in the Casino Royale commentary you did and the Christmas episode. So I'm just having a great fun time.
Welcome aboard. Everybody can be a 00. Although you have your own sidekick, Burb.
Yeah.
Very interesting. How about you, Jocelyn?
So I've been a long Bond fan for a long time. Probably longer than I know, from all sorts of random things that have happened in my life. And it wasn't until I went on the Honor Majesty Secret Service 50th anniversary trip.
Oh, you to went Switzerland. To that? You
yeah, I met... went to that.
Interesting.
And I didn't know anybody at the time. It was just kind of, I was already planning a Europe vacation with my parents and they had to go to a wedding and my husband and I weren't invited. Mm-hmm. And it happened to be that 50th anniversary weekend and we're like, we'll just go to Switzerland instead, bye. And being around over 100 or so plus Bond fans, I felt really comfortable. And so after getting back from the trip and kind of milling about at home, I decided maybe I should start an Instagram account and be a little bit more social, just to interact with people. But also I think there isn't a lot of women out there, or they're, you know, in the shadows of not like wanting to participate, but kind of afraid. So I thought, well, I'll dip my toes in the water and see what happens and go from there. And mostly because I wanted to share all of my fandom and my collection and stuff. And I felt terrible bombarding my normal friends with it.
I can relate.
The normies.
We feel
bad for them, the normies. They don't get it, but you can't win them all, so.
So then I started my account and then here I am, like creating content and doing things I never thought I would do.
Well, it's funny. I appreciate the point you brought up, Jocelyn, about there not being a terrible amount of late, which we're speaking about ladies of the 60s, about the feminine side of the Bond fan community. I mean, there
Bond
are
creators.
You two, Bond content creators, Dr. Lisa Funnell, who co-hosts a podcast and actually started her own not too long ago. I know there's Becca Andrews from Do You Expect Us to Talk? She's a real Bond aficionado.
There's Danielle.
Yeah, who we had the pleasure of meeting. But it's not as though there are, like we know the wives of some of these people, but they're not James Bond fans. It's like, so yeah, there aren't too many of them. It's I kind of, now that it's just hitting me now, it's kind of special and an honor to have the both of you on this show. It's like,
I was kind of got the concept.
That was it.
That was it.
I didn't. It flew way over my head.
Oh, yeah, but it's always bearded dudes that talk about Bond, since we're focusing on the concept. Like when Edgar proposed this episode, I was like, yeah, it's fun and all, but I don't want us to be like, oh, that's a cute outfit. Oh, it's kind of creepy and disingenuous. I wanted a feminine opinion, and I want to take this as, not as seriously, I still want it to be fun, but I wanted a real opinion from persons of the fairer sex. Is that correct? Did I miss?
Did you try any clothing on? I went deep with this research.
Oh, did you try a bikini on?
more than one.
More than one. I wore a few dresses myself.
I was I've shocked myself in some what I saw in the mirror sometimes. But excellent. So what we're going to do is a top 007, but we're going to maybe weave some non-Bond elements when it feels appropriate. This is almost one of my, now that it's the third Tailored For episode, one of my favorite parts is, how did you do your list? Because the first two times, we just went in our own little corners. So, Matt, what did you do?
I went with the outfits that, you know, some of them have one outfit throughout the entire picture. Some of them have multiple outfits. I tried to, you know, pick a few outfits from each film, and I tried to vary it. I didn't say it all. I'm going to put all dresses, all cocktail dresses, and I went, you know, with my gut feeling, what are the outfits that so either represent or are unique, or are, I went from, you know, something casual to something a little bit dressy. There's a few bikinis in there, but you know, that sort of, not refined, but define the character, you know, with their fashion, I guess. That's probably what I did.
That's kind of what we're doing here. How about you, Jocelyn? Was there a particular strategy at play here?
Just kind of going for it. I mean, there's so much out there. I thought, well, whatever you guys don't cover, I'll try to pick up somewhere else.
And Melanie?
I was so jazzed about this, and I could not have been more thrilled with the topic, because I absolutely adore 1960s spy ladies. So I actually picked my top fashion trends that we see throughout, you know, of course, the Bond films of the 60s, but then also maybe, like you said, Edgar, kind of dipping my toe into Avengers or a little bit of Mission Impossible, some of the other spy series that we see in the 60s.
Awesome. Awesome. I come up with seven. Do we all have seven? It doesn't really matter. I know the first two episodes, you know, I had five, you had eight.
I have one or two per film. And
did you rank them? Or
no, because it's, okay. You know, it's, I went Dr. No from Russia with Love, so and so and so. I don't, you know, that I don't have a particular rating, but I, you know, I can sort of explain why I picked them, why those outfits sort of are more captivating sometimes.
I have a dishonorable mention, but do we want to get you have a dishonorable mention. I have one. Jocelyn, Melanie, do you have some dishonorable mentions? We can get those out of the way if we have any.
I don't think I have any.
I like the positivity. I like
hey,
the
you
positivity.
Know what? You might be able to, if we, because I have maybe two. One that I'll definitely bring up because it's I know it's going to be a controversial choice, but you can be the opposite to our negative opinion on certain outfits. So
I feel as though there are certain 60s looks that haven't aged well. So, I mean, as far as like a dishonorable mention, I mean, maybe at the time that was very groundbreaking and hip and in, but then when you go back and watch these movies now, they're hideous.
I'm curious to know what it is, because I feel it's often said, maybe I'm speaking to the wrong people, but I feel it's often said that the 60s has, everybody loves the 60s. You know, it's such an awesome timeless. So I'm very curious to know, especially since you went with trends and you still have a dishonorable mention. I'm very curious to know what it is now. Interesting.
Well, I will launch into it because, you know, the interesting thing about the 60s is it was very, very, it's like the decade of opposites. I mean, it was really, really bipolar. So you have some of the carryover from the 1950s, where especially in the earlier part of the decades, you have much more conservative looks. And then with the entire sexual revolution, toward the end of the 60s, I mean, and with all of women's lib and everything else, you have so much more skin in the 60s than you've ever seen in the past. You've got the real, real bright, bold colors. And of course, a good part of that as well is we started out the decade, everyone had black and white television sets. And so a lot of these spy series like Uncle and Avengers, and they started out in black and white. And then toward the end of the 60s, you know, they're making full use of costuming for colored television sets. But for me, I feel like the outfits that really have not aged well is when you start getting into more of like the late 60s looks, especially when you're looking at Honor Majesty's Secret Service. I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is are Blofeld's Angels of Death, you know?
Okay. All right.
The looks are just so, it really is a time capsule. You look at like Ruby's outfits, and like if a woman wore that on the streets today, she'd be turning heads for all the wrong reasons.
She may have been on my list. I had two for my list. So
That made it.
I think she's horribly dressed, and I just not, you know, the outfit, the hair, nothing helps her in that movie. It just,
you don't like Ruby.
I like the performance of the actress, but you know, what she wears is horrible. It's
a little ridiculous. With or without glasses, though, that's my question. Ruby, with or without glasses?
It's worse with the glasses on.
Worse with the glasses. Do we have opinions here? With or without the glasses?
You know, Jocelyn, I mean, for me, it's, I'll say really, really quickly, I think she sort of epitomized, you talk about the extremes, you had women with really, really, really long hair, and then you had the really, really short hair, like the Twiggies and stuff like that of the 60s. And so I think her hair, you know, she has more of a shorter style. Personally, I'm not as huge of a fan of the real oversized, ridiculous glasses. It's just, it's the entire combination of just all elements, it just doesn't translate well today. But I'm curious, Jocelyn, what you have to say, because I know I'm really outspoken.
Well, I think, you know, as crazy and vibrant as that costume is, like, it really is a marker of the era, especially the end as we go into the 70s too. I actually like the glasses on her. I think it frames her face, you know, because if not, like, I think it gets lost because she's blonde, right? So it adds kind of a little bit more detail. But I mean, as far as those colors, I don't know. I love those colors. I would never wear it, you know? But I mean, if you were to walk outside, like, especially here in California, I think, like, it wouldn't be a big deal. Or people would probably ask you, are you going to a 60s party? That's pretty common, you know? We have a lot of people who, different social, like fashionable social groups. I guess maybe for me, like the other thing that I'm really interested in besides Bond is actually the tiki culture. Okay. And that encompasses like all of the late 50s and but mostly 60s era, where it was like bright colors and like wearing those kinds of crazy clothing, you know. But I think it's just at that time it was just like a an era of like celebration, you know, just being free. And I think that speaks a lot through the clothing that they chose.
Yeah, there's well, certain...
and the psychedelic, to be fair too, the psychedelic colors certainly did fit with the whole, you know, hypnosis type of things yeah. that were going on. So, I mean, it fit, but it's definitely very, very much of the time.
It also makes it kind of unique because we were highlighting Ruby, but Melanie, you alluded to the Angels of Death as a gang, as a whole. It also makes it even more pronounced, perhaps, that sequence of the film where we spend time with the Angels. They're up there at the top of the mountain in the Swiss Alps. It's almost like this bizarre little hermetical encapsulation of just the wildest... Gaudi? Is it gauche? How would we describe that?
There's a United Nation of colors. Everyone looks like they're wearing an outfit that there's like the one looks like she's wearing a milkmaid outfit kind of deal. There's one that's they all have those outfits that are just really like, I don't know, bizarre and sort of a caricature of where they're supposed to, because if I remember in the book they're all from different parts of England, but in the film they're from all over the place, and it looks like they're wearing parodies of what those people would wear, those types of outfit. There's a quality to the costuming.
That's a good thing you mentioned about parody.
When you get the entire commune together, the entire commune, it's really revolting.
It's like,
but if you look at other movies of that time, like look at the Pink Panther series. Mm. When you have party scenes in the Pink Panther series, it's also, I mean, it's echoing that, you know, that commune. The
60s version of Casino. But the 60s version of Casino Royale as that... you know, barf of color all over the place. Everyone's wearing these. It's just like somebody like ate crayons and threw up on all the clothing, and it's all those bizarre colors. So okay, whatever, it works. It's bizarre. But I have another outfit that I'm gonna get a bad reaction, and I'm just each time I watch that movie, I'm like, it is so bizarre. It, you know, it works because it's a Bond movie. But the Zorro outfit that Tracy wears during the bullfight, she looks like it's Miss Zorro. It's like, oh, en garde!
Bond, thank you.
Thank you.
Many happy returns.
The best years are still to come. Let's hope.
Oh, hello.
Please sit down, ladies.
What are you doing here?
Yes, wasn't it kind of your father to invite me?
Mr. Bond and I are discussing a business deal today, sir.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
No woman would waste this excellent champagne discussing a business deal. Unless, of course, she happened to be part of the arrangement.
Olympe, what have you said?
Don't blame Olympe, Papa. I'm not your daughter for nothing.
I detect a certain family resemblance.
I suggest you revise the terms of your contract, Mr. Bond. You'll find your liability far too expensive.
Ah, now, there you're mistaken.
Papa.
Yes?
Mr. Bond wants some information.
I wonder what you're talking about.
You always taught me that a good host supplies his guests' needs.
Uh-huh.
And without obligation.
And then?
I'm not sure obligation is quite the right word.
Tell him, Papa. Tell him what he wants to know. Now.
Please, Teresa. There's only a possibility. Nothing definite.
Tell him, Papa, or you'll never see me again.
I'm not a fan of that outfit. It works in the context of a movie, but it's a bizarre choice that only works because it's a Bond movie. It's from the 60s. You couldn't have that outfit in 1968, and you couldn't have that outfit in 1970. It works because it's 1969, but I'm not a fan.
Interesting.
I'm going to defend that outfit.
I hope you are. I want... create some electricity. Go ahead.
Okay. So I picked, when I said how I sort of did my list, is I picked my top 007 trends. Mm. And this is one of them. And again, I think it's because of women's lib, for the first time, you really start seeing women in pantsuits. Mm-hmm. And at the time, that was really revolutionary. I mean, you had offices who were saying women were not allowed to wear pantsuits. They had to stay in skirts. So, I mean, that was really, you know, pushing the envelope, and especially knowing what you know about Diana Rigg, as she was such a strong character for feminism in the 60s anyways, with her role as Emma Peel on The Avengers. And so you start seeing women, Pussy Galore is another fantastic example. Mm. Her black, the very tailored, almost men's suits that you see her in the black one with the gold vest, you see her in the white one, you see Tracy in sort of this, and it's almost, I understand what you're saying with like, it's a little bit of a twist on the bullfighting sort of matador look, but then it's also has a little hint of tuxedo in it too, with the cummerbund. Mm. And so and the hat as well, which is a second one of my design trends, which is hats are going out for men in the 60s. Yep. And hats are going in for men and for women in the 60s. You start to see more and more women wearing hats. So I feel like that outfit was sort of really epitomized two very strong style trends in the 60s with regards to the hats and the sort of tailored, you know, crossing that line, dipping into men's fashion a little bit.
Interesting. Jocelyn, what do we think about the Zorro gear? I'll give you something. I'll give you a little something. Just
bring it. I welcome it.
I mean, I really like that outfit, but I think it leaves a memory. You know, it's a statement for sure. I mean, you can't think of that bullfight without thinking about her outfit for sure. And going on the pantsuits, it reminded me of her wedding dress. Mm. Her wedding dress is also, it's got pants. Like, it looks like a dress, but it's not.
Interesting. It is a bit of I mean, the wedding dress isn't on my list, but I don't know what to make of that wedding dress. But hearing you talk about it like that, it's like, I guess that's why I don't understand about it. It is unique. Oh. It is different.
Jocelyn, you're hitting all my marks, my friend. Because the pantsuit covers, as far as I'm concerned, two style trends. The first one being the all-in-one jumpers, which you see, because her wedding dress was an all-in-one piece. And you see that with Tilly when she's wearing the black cat suit. Again, and this is, you know, you see this throughout the Avengers, Diana Rigg is wearing these all-in-one belted cat suit looking. And the other one too is Fiona Volpe. Oh, she combines them both into her shorts all-in-one, that purple and gold with the, and I know, Matt, this is going to be one of these patterns that's going to make you want to vomit, but it's that really bright purple and gold with the flowers, and it's belted, and it's an all-in-one with shorts. So it's like, we're going to take all of the 60s and throw it into the outfit.
It's amazing. Just to add my own little part about the Zorro suit. It's my number five, you son of a bitch.
I didn't pick it by luck, and I'm happy that, you know, I prefer to have people that love. I don't like nitpicking or hating stuff, and I love that you're actually like, it won't make my top 10 favorite clothing, but I see a lot of your points, and you make good, it's just personal preferences, but you did make good arguments for that outfit, and especially what it means culture wise. I see that you did your research, but I'm, you know, it's way too Zorro for my taste, but you know, like Jocelyn says, it leaves a mark, you know, when you see it, it's so, I wouldn't say strange, but striking, that it leaves a echo in your mind. Like, I would just show that movie to a neophyte, and they'd be, "Wow, what is she wearing? That's quite the outfit." That's
a good point. I think what's getting interesting about this episode, as we've gotten started, is that we obviously have a couple people on the show today that can verbalize some of the things that were going on in my head when I compiled my list. But I'm no expert in tailoring, and let's not even get into the women's clothing. So I think...
Didn't you wear a dress earlier?
We cut that part out of the show.
Okay.
Right? We cut that out. It's that I was thinking of the things that you explained, Melanie, about the hat. The hat is very striking. When I was going through my list, and it really sort of the zenith was the Zorro outfit, is this cross, in a funny sense, this cross between elegance, femininity, but there's a funny, powerful confidence about it. It's not masculine. It's not masculine. It's a very female outfit, but there's a strength to it. There's a formality to it. And yes, the hat, that's probably why it snuck in there at five. It's like, the hat is just like, yes, it's got to be in the list.
But it, you know, there's a, perhaps it's because it's black and white with a dash of red, but there's an element of strength in that outfit that, hearing you guys talk, I can acknowledge now. It's like, yeah, it not that it looks tough, but it looks decisive. It projects confidence. I think that's what it's meant for. That the outfit is meant. It's an adjusted version of a male outfit, a toreador. So there's a quality of strength to that outfit.
Oh, it's a riding outfit. There's a certain formality. Back in the day, anyways, you know, there's a certain formality about one's attire when you mounted a horse to go for a ride for sport.
You convinced me. I'm removing it from my list.
There's a win. You already got one.
So it's only now Ruby and her.
Look at that.
Yeah,
it's perfect. It's perfect on her. And the little red belt thingy. What do you call that? The red part there.
Cummerbund.
Cummerbund. God, that looks good.
I don't know all my lingo, but I know it's a cummerbund.
Is there anything, I haven't gotten to my dishonorable mention, but is there anything else that didn't strike our fancy when we were, did you get to your?
No, I was going to say, are we going backwards now? Because we started with the last of the 60s.
It sounds a lot like our first two tailored episodes.
I feel like we should go backwards, but I don't know if it feels natural now, because I have a favorite outfit of Honor Majesty's Secrets that we haven't discussed, but I don't know. Do you ladies want to go from beginning to end or end to beginning?
Well, you know what I think we could do is, since Melody went with trends, and I'm sure in explaining your trends, you'll highlight some of your favorite dresses and attires. The other three of us could bounce off of that trend and make reference to, like, I gave away that Zorro outfit is my number five. I haven't given my seven and six yet, but
really,
it's like, whatever, you know, it's like,
numbering, so it so works.
We can go that way. So let's go by trend. Let's go with the baseline will be the trend, and then the three of us will sort of jump on the trend and mention, you know, what dress attire, and I'll make reference to where it ranked in my 007 or whatever. How does that sound?
Sounds great. Yeah, right,
so,
it works for me.
So what are our trends, Melanie?
Okay, well, let's see. We've touched on a couple already. I discussed the belted all-in-ones, like the cat suits that we see our spy girls wearing in the 60s. Hmm. And we have a couple of examples of that in our Bond films. I mentioned Tilly. We see her... And again, my favorite's got to be that Fiona Volpe number. I'm trying to think if there's any more, but you especially see them in other series as well, especially Diana Rigg in the Avengers.
I think Pussy's Flying Circus, aren't all the women wearing jumpsuits? Yeah.
Yes, good call, Jocelyn.
And it's sort of become the unofficial, every female secret agent, spy, covert, whatever you want to call it, from the, up until, you know, Black Widow is wearing a version of the same outfit. You had Weylin in Tomorrow Never Dies. It is the definitive. Like, when you have a female size, she needs the one-piece cat suit. It's unavoidable.
The cat suit is... I might be revealing a little bit about myself here, but the cat suit is something else. It is so dreamy. Tilly in the cat suit is my 007. She starts my list. It is such a nice look. I love the sleekness. It's tactical. It's covert. Unfortunately, she's a bit of a poor shot, but, you know, it is what it is. But the look, as far as giving the impression that she means business. She bought herself a one-piece catsuit tactical outfit. She's obviously ready to do something tonight.
Let me go! You're breaking my back!
What the hell are you doing here?
I want to kill him!
Kill who?
Goldfinger!
Well, I want him alive.
I want him dead. He killed my sister.
D.M. Tilly Masters. I knew your sister, Jill. I know what he did to her in Miami.
No, you don't. Let me go.
If you wanted to kill him, why did you shoot at me?
I didn't. I was shooting at him.
Well, you're a lousy shot.
And I was doing some Google image searching about that outfit. And I feel like now a lot of them are Goldfinger stills, and it's shot at night, so it's a little bit difficult to decipher exactly what it looks like. But I thought I noticed some publicity stills where does the neck area hang a little bit, or maybe she was wearing something else in some of those, but like the cat suit in the film, is there a little part like a shawl almost or a scarf type, or is it?
It has a cowl. I believe you're right. I think it has a bit of a cowl. Mm-hmm. And I think we also see Moneypenny with a cowl neck in one of the office scenes. And I'm trying to remember which film it's in. But you did have a little bit of that. And ladies also wearing scarves around the neck area as well.
That reminds me of one of my favorite outfits is the dress that Aki wears, the blue one. It's a very like your typical 60s dress, right? But it's like a dress with like the sheer overdress, and then it has the cowl with the little, you know, the pin brooch that goes with it. And I really love that because it's I feel like that's the blend of like the kind of typical 60s trend, but also still looking very elegant.
I love you.
I have a car nearby.
Oh, where do you suggest we go?
I know a quiet hotel.
And?
Where your friend is waiting. Mr. Henderson.
Wasn't Mr. Henderson able to come himself?
I suppose not.
Why?
He didn't say.
There's an elegance to that dress. She unfortunately, and it pains me so much, I couldn't fit Aki in, but she had two things that were fighting for a spot in my 007, and that was one of them. That was one of them, that sort of powder blue or baby blue, what is that? Is that satin? What is, I don't know what fabric that is, but it looks so delicate. It looks so elegant. It's and when she puts on the done,
and I think it's supposed to be probably silk because you're in the, you know, Far East. So
that would make sense. The other one for Aki I had is I don't know what it is about it. Maybe it's because she has her hair down, but man, the jeans and the cream sweater.
I picked that one too.
You got, oh nice, man, because I'm like, I know it's simple. You didn't have to like design that much. They're sort of going to the docks, but I'm like, I don't know, something about Akiko Wakabayashi. There's something about the way she looks when she's wearing those jeans and that cream, slightly oversized sweater, just subtly. I'm like, Ooh, yeah, I'll go to the docks with you.
Yeah, she's doing some climbing, if I remember correctly. Yeah, no, it's a functional, it's very casual, and it's not too, you know, somebody could wear that outfit today and nobody would bat an eyelash. That's why I put it on my list. But the blue, I'm going to call it a dress because I don't know what else to call it. But when she starts, she's a very mysterious character at the beginning. It's only when she removes sort of the cowl that she becomes more and more, I wouldn't say character, but you get to know her a little bit more. But
it's revealing.
It's she's revealing. Peeling away. Yeah. I like that outfit too. Good picks. She wears a lot of traditional Japanese outfit also, which I'm like, I cannot not like, but it, you know, it's really of that culture. It's not something you can necessarily wear. Like
I know. I think I know what you mean. It's like, you know, I was because we recorded a Dr. No episode earlier today, so I watched the movie this week, and you know, there are a couple characters in that movie that have the I know there's a specific name for them, but that the Chinese type of silk one pieces that some of the women characters wear, and I really like the one that the photographer wears. I think that's a stunning piece, but at the same time, I don't know. It's hard to explain, but I know what you mean. It's like it's specifically that. It can't be anything else. Whereas the blue silk outfit that Aki wears could have been any character in any country, and it would have worked, kind of. You know,
yeah, so. But it still reveals a little bit. Like you said, she's in the context of the film. She's probably wearing silk. You know, Japan's known for their silk production, but it feels. Because the way it's cut, it feels like it's a sort of a blend between traditional Japanese and more westernized Japanese. There's something in there that the brooch. I don't know. I feel like a lot of the clothing sometimes. People way smarter than me have probably spent time to think. Okay, that character. Why would they dress that way? That's something that. You know, I appreciate when it comes to costuming, there's a lot of thought into it. It's not just, let's put her in a bikini again. You know, there's often a lot of thought and analysis to make the proper choice.
Character.
It is a more modern tailored take on that. Yeah.
Absolutely. Do anything else about that trend or Aki? We can abandon the tailor-made for and talk about Aki. No problem for me. But what would be our next trend?
Well, let's see. So one of the other things I'm going to, since Jocelyn brought it up earlier, Tracy's wedding dress, one of the trends, and again, in the 1960s, you're starting to see more and more skin. So you've got like those very form-fitting, I mean, they were modest, every part was covered with the cat suits, but they were still very form-fitting. And then on the flip side of that, you have these real see-through sheer numbers, and specifically with Tracy's all-in-one wedding dress, it sort of hints to, at the late 60s, you start to see sort of the crocheted dresses, where there's a lot of like little peaks of skin showing. So it was a little bit scandalous, but everything was still kind of covered. Now, of course, Tracy's wedding dress is done with like the large sort of lace flowers put together. But it's sort of that similar trend where you've got these really, really wide, loose knits, the macrame, crocheted type things that you'll start to see. So a little bit of bohemian chic. involved in it, but that's another trend.
Interesting. It's a fascinating outfit. I don't dislike it. It's certainly, you know what, I think your Zorro outfit is my wedding dress. This is gonna be a great one to edit. But your Zorro outfit is my wedding dress, so I'm like, it strikes me. It leaves an image. I don't know how much I actually like it, though. I don't know. There's something about him.
That's another one, though, that doesn't age well either. It was fantastic in the film. It worked for her character, but I could not picture a modern bride wearing anything like that.
Yeah, that's the thing. It works in the context. It can only work between transition from 1970s to 1960. That like small window. Like I've seen my parents' wedding pictures, and sometimes it's more my dad that looks so 70s with the sort of white collar. My mom looks a little bit more timeless, and I'm thinking if she wore something like that, I would probably be laughing at her pictures as much as I'm laughing at my dad's wedding pictures. Good times.
I'm noticing a trend. Oh, but go ahead, Melanie.
Oh, I was just going to say, what's really fun about that whole crocheted look is, I'm not sure about in Canada, but I know here in the States, when Austin Powers, the second Austin Powers came out, Spy Who Shagged Me, mm-hmm. and you had Felicity Shagwell, who was in like that orange, real crazy crocheted dress, so I'm dipping into spy parody a little bit. But what's interesting, that was like late 90s, early 2000s. We had this resurgence of it here in the States. I don't know if it caught on elsewhere, but I actually had like one of those crocheted tops, and it was, what we would wear out to the clubs and stuff like that. And it was such a nightmare to wash. It would snag on everything. I'm so glad that was a blip that it came back, and I'm so glad it's gone again, because I think you'd wear it like once or twice and it'd be torn to shreds. Oh, yeah,
that's the thing. There's a certain delicacy to it, I guess, as well, because it can get caught up and stuff. That must have been a bit of a mini nightmare.
I think it's still popular, actually, like in small amounts, especially with the festival, music festival people, like people who go to Coachella. And then they'll have the crochet top version of that, and then maybe jeans or something. But there's a lot of that like bohemian hippie type of thing that happens, at least out here in California. So I mean, it still exists, and it's more like natural colors versus vibrant. But you still have that like pico, it's still covering everything, but you're totally showing more.
Yeah, I wouldn't say no one wears that here. It's just our summers are a little bit briefer.
Yeah, we don't brief see as much. And not as warm. It's like maybe 2 weeks of like, oh, it's very like I'm boiling my own juice, and the rest is it's like it's warm.
Yeah, I'm noticing a trend here. Since we've started the conversation, Majesties has come up a number of times, and not always in positive light. I'm wondering if we want to talk about that. This is unexpected. This is like totally off the hook here. But I'm wondering if we want to talk about that. Is there something about, and we'll stick with the ladies, but we could talk about Lazenby too a little bit if we want to. But might there be something about Majesties? You brought up, Matt, the idea about this slightly awkward segue from the 60s to the 70s. Do we think maybe there is something about Majesties because it's almost in an awkward space between the 60s and the 70s? Do you think there might be anything to that, Melanie, for instance?
Well, I think this is just an example of everything that is going on in the late 60s. Mm. I mean, you have the whole summer of love, like I said, everything kind of culminated with this late 60s. So you've got all of the really bright, bold patterns. And when you're looking at the beginning of the decade, you still have so many of the more conservative 50s fashions that are, in style. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I think we'll touch on a little bit later, because we've got to talk about that as well. Mm. But as all of that starts to usher out, and with women's lib and the sexual revolution, and now you've got the creation of the pill, and and plus penicillin from the 50s. So now we can also take care of STDs on top of the pill. So you have this very, that's part of the culture, this whole free love type attitude. And so everything really came to a head right there in the late 60s. And so that's why I think Majesties is such, I mean, that's the height of it right there. The psychedelic patterns, all of those bold fabrics, it's a time capsule. It's the perfect example of everything that was going on at that time.
even the hypnosis scenes, you know, such a time capsule of all the psychedelic stuff. The bathrooms over at Peace Gloria, at least in the girls' bathrooms, if you go into the stall and close the door, there's one of those psychedelic audios that plays, and there's like flashing lights and stuff like that. So you'll hear Blofeld while you're in the stall going, you know, you're supposed to love chicken and stuff like that. You know? And
I'm sorry.
Okay, that's a little what's
that's
that,
creepy.
Yeah, I don't know if I
would. It's funny though.
I don't know. Maybe I would have taken some dialogue from Tracy for the women's.
But it's at Peace Gloria. You use everything. I mean,
I don't know what to make of that.
Yeah, but it's I think the men bathroom have, from what I've seen videos, I think they have something similar. Mm.
Apparently, in the men's washroom, there's like an image of George that says like, "Don't forget to wash your," something that reminds you to wash your hands. I'm like, wow, they come up with everything for this thing. Just very quickly, what is Piz Gloria like? Is it everything it's cracked up to be?
A lot of the stuff is still there. I mean, when they made the movie, part of the stipulation was to finish creating Peace Gloria. Like that was pretty much on the contract. So the part where all the girls are, and that there's that gold, what do you call it? It's like almost like fencing. It's gold with the circles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right,
you know,
right.
When you go up the stairwell, like yes. That's still there, you know? Nice. I mean, just being out there in the mountains, I mean, it's pretty amazing. It's spectacular.
It must be. One day, yeah. We'll get these vaccines.
Yeah.
Spread that love. Then we'll go to the place we love. I don't even remember where I am in my list now. We're flying through these trends. But
I was going to say something about the 60s. Oh, even the filmmaking, you know, speaking of psychedelic, there's some edits in that movie where, like, when Bond gets into Draco's office and there's a weird cut and sound effect with echoes, you're like, what the hell am I watching? there's a few things like that. Like that Peter Hunt, you like to experiment, and it's shown real well in that movie. Like he was experimenting with his editing in the previous films, but he got the reins and let's go for it. Let's explode this thing. I think it, some of his choices were also in, like, he's in charge, and he's no what's your favorite director of all time?
Ridley Scott.
No, the other one.
Terrence Young.
Yes.
No, nobody's. We can't but all be Terrence Young.
That's the thing. He's no, you know, he's not Terrence Young. He still has decent choices, but some of his choices, fashion was are weird, like Ruby's outfit, even Bond. Some of the thing he wears in that outfit, that color roulé, that orange, like turtleneck.
Niche. Oof,
no, brown on orange. I'm not a fan of that one.
Orange is tough. Orange is tough. Although I will say this, since we are talking about ladies and 60s ladies, I find women, and you two may of course chime in, I find if any of the two sexes can pull off orange with a little bit more aplomb, it's not us, it's them. I find,
oh, yes, yes.
What do you, because there's Helga.
I was going to say, that's a good segue.
That's effortless. But there's Helga in You Only Live Twice when she's in Osato's office, and you know, Mr. Osato believes in healthy chest. Yes, he does.
A very honorable death, all the same.
Very. He gained great face with the company.
I hope you are not taking any risks yourself, Mr. Fisher.
Me? I never take any risks.
You forgive me for saying so, but I think you are taking one now.
I am.
Mm-hmm. You should give up smoking. Cigarettes are very bad for your chest.
Mr. Ozato believes in a healthy chest.
But she's really? She's rocking some quite vivid orange. I mean, she's just basically wearing some orange crush. What do we think maybe about the color of orange and Helga's outfit? Do we have any thoughts about that, Melanie?
Orange is my favorite color. I love orange. Oh, yes. I don't know. I love going out looking like I'm dressed like a construction cone. No, no, I personally cannot pull it off. I love that it's a bright, cheery, bold color. I can't pull it off. I wish I could. I think of, now I know we're going to be going way, way outside of the 60s here, but you know, I think of Jinx and Die Another Day with the orange bikini and how beautifully it looks on Halle Berry's skin tone. You know, so I think you have to have the right type of skin tone to be able to pull that off.
Maybe that could be something. That could be something. Although Helga Brandt, it is a very nice shirt, to be fair. How about you, Jocelyn? Anything about orange? Do you like the color orange?
What's your favorite
color? I actually do like the color orange. Orange is kind of like my secret favorite color.
Secret favorite
color. I have the normal colors that I like, right? And then the like orange would be the color of my toenails, you know, that kind of thing.
Interesting.
Close to you.
Exactly. Yeah.
Orange is tough, though. It's so bright, and I find... Maybe depending, fabric certainly comes into play too, but I find orange, it's tough to pull off. It might have something to do with skin tone. You might be on to something, Melanie. I don't know.
Yeah, it definitely is. Like, I mean, for me, like yellow is kind of a, because my skin tone, yellow could be a little bit too much. Like, I could never really wear white because I'm already really like fair skinned. And it would just drown me out, right, you know? So right. I think the skin tone really matters. I mean, it makes me think of, was it Thumper or Bambi? I always get them confused. But one of them has that like orange yellow bikini, you know, and it looks really Bambi. Lovely. On it. As Bambi, okay. I get them confused. Actually, aren't they both wearing orange? Can't remember.
No, one is, Thumper's in yellow, no?
It's like a yellow
bikini.
No. Oh, I think I think you're right. I think Bambi is in Bambi's in the yellow and Thumper's in the orange.
Yes, because Bambi's Thumper's in yellow. I'm Thumper. And that's gotta be Thumper. Thumper's in the yellow. My Thumper's not bad. I just realized it now. Could be a problem, but Thumper's in yellow and Bambi. You're on again, Bambi. So yeah, Bambi's got the headdress there and the brown. What?
It's brown.
Oh man, yeah. Bambi's in yellow, and I think Thumper is in like the darker. Mm-hmm. She's in a dark
burgundy red, I think,
or rust color.
Rust color.
I'd say it's more burgundy. Yeah, burgundy. It's the jewel tones, but that's like early 70s.
Yeah, no, we didn't prepare for that episode. That's why we can't remember.
That's later.
That will be for the sequel.
That's later. But I mean, I think your point to the orange, as far as like color palettes of the 60s, you know, it is interesting because the early 60s, you have, like I said, a lot of the 50s carryover. So you still have a lot of those pastel colors, a lot of neutral tones. And then as you get into like the later 60s, I mean, and even, oh my goodness, even if you watch like Casino Royale 67, or like I said, the Pink Panthers and Majesties, the real, real bright colors, the yellows, the oranges, the lime greens, and then going into more of, you start seeing the jewel tones as well as late 60s.
That's great stuff. Best decade ever. I remember that first Pink Panther. I haven't seen the series. I've only seen the first movie, which I've seen a couple of times actually. And yeah, there's a scene, I think you alluded to it earlier actually, for whatever reason, the movie just decides to stop to have a song and dance number. And it's a great scene. And the singer is dressed fantastically, and everyone in that party is, you know, in that particular 60s way. It looks very swinging. It's very, very 60s. It's quite something.
Phenomenal.
Do we have another trend? I don't know how many we have left.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. So we've talked about the wedding dress. Since we've been talking so much about the late 60s, let's start to go into like the early 60s, because this is going to be the fashion trends that are kind of carrying over from the 50s style. Mm-hmm. And the first one that I feel like we have to address, and I know that it's going to be on your gentlemen's lists, is going to be actually the lack of a fashion item. but it's very, very noticeable on the ladies, especially when they're in their swimwear, and that's the loss of corsets. So you see in all of the early Connery films, mm-hmm. Whenever you see the ladies in their bikinis, how you really see that pinched, super pinched in waist. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we don't see. And again, you know, you had at this time, women are starting to like burn their bras. So corsets are on their way out, but you still have, you know, Honey Rider and Sylvia Trench at the beginning of From Russia with Love, like when she's in her bikini, you still, even though they're not wearing it, you can see where, I mean, the women were essentially mutilating their bodies. They had these forced hourglass figures. You really see it with Kissy in You Only Live Twice. And that's something that you're really gonna only see in the 60s. You get a little bit of that in the 70s, like with Tiffany Case, but then especially 80s, 90s, you do not see that anymore with women's figures when they're in their swimwear.
That is
it. You blew my mind. I'm a dude. So I'm sorry, but I never, it's things that like that. I'm like, they were mutilating their body. They were using corsets even in the 50s and the 60s, just like they did in like 1800s and stuff.
It's crazy.
You just blew my mind a little bit.
There is something about that, the swimwear. I do have one on my list, but I could only put the one. There was nothing else going on this list. All right, my number three is the, not just Domino's bikini, but the Domino bikini, which is like the black and white.
Yeah, the black and white. But
bikini. But it's funny.
It's on my list too.
The Honey Rider's outfit is interesting. There is, I like the point you made about the sort of the hourglass shape and the sort of tightness that some of this swimwear has. I don't know if it really struck me. I think maybe you, like I said earlier, you might have verbalized something that was just very sort of vague in my mind that I didn't quite know how to hit the nail on the head, but you just did it there. It's like, yeah, some of these, it was like, shouldn't, you know, it's, you don't need it to be that tight. It almost looks like there's gonna be like a red bend on around their waist when they take that off. Were those comfortable?
that was the secret, like, right? I mean, of course you fellas wouldn't have like but body shapes back then looked very, very different from like when we see ladies in bikinis nowadays, and it's because of those corsets, which we do not see anymore, thankfully. Yeah.
Oh, they're not,
in my opinion.
They're really hard to wear in. Like I've had a few from like doing like costume reenactments and stuff like that. And I mean, like sitting in a car with them on, because the boning is made out of metal. You know, you can't bend over or anything like that. Like you're like uptight and cold in there, and like breathing can be really hard, so you have to be careful if you're drinking and stuff like that.
This sounds horrible.
And I mean, and that was it. The women wore those all of, you know, in the 50s you had, you know, corsets and then of course the crinoline, but the super duper pinched in waist. And as soon as the 60s come and you know you're in your bikinis and the corset is gone, you still have those teeny waists. that you don't see anymore. It's healthier, I think, healthier looking figures in women. We still have curves, but it's much healthier looking.
Yeah, I guess so. Yes, it is healthier.
It looks stronger. The bodies look. You look at those bodies from the, and it's something, you know, subconsciously I probably realized, but now you're putting it in words, it's just blowing my mind. They were squeezing their tummies in that shape and it mutilating their bodies in a way. You know, it's not like in China when they were breaking the gay lady's foot to fit sort of. I don't remember, but there's an element of torture, and I feel really, really bad.
y'all are never going to be able to look at those bikini bodies the same again.
Yeah, I'm going to think, she was squeezed to put. Now I put two bikinis because I did put Honey Rider, but I put it more when she's wearing in the swamp. She has her shirt and she wears the belt on top of the shirt. Because when I was looking at it, I always prefer like this way because it, you know, the character puts her weapon closer to her. We were talking about it earlier. She could have the belt with the knife under her shirt. And no, she wants to be ready. She it's sort of her gun. She's ready to draw her gun. It's one point Bond and her are like, she's toying with her belt and Bond's cleaning his gun and there's she wants to be at the ready no matter what happens, and she loves that knife. But that's it was on my list, and I'm like, I'm like, oh, poor Ursula.
Never met a detective before. Are you going to arrest Dr. No?
No, someone is. We can't have him trying to kill everyone who comes here.
He doesn't just try. I'm pretty sure he killed my father.
What do you mean by that?
You see, my father was a marine zoologist. And we came to the Caribbean for him to study seashells. Then one day he came to Crab Key. And I never saw him again.
Oh, no. Yeah. In post, I'll do my list. It's Domino's Bikini was never on my list.
But Domino's Bikini... You know what?
Awesome.
Sorry for taking the lead on this one, but Domino's Bikini is very important because she oscillates her outfit between black and white throughout the picture. And it's at that moment, she's wearing the black and white. After that, she wears a white bathing suit throughout the rest of the picture. And so that's why it's she's always, am I with Bond? Am I with Largo? She's oscillating in that particular outfit. You know, her outfits sort of show her frame of mind, which she's with when she's with Bond, when she's more with Largo. It's a very important bikini.
It is an extremely important bikini. Thank you very much.
I'm sorry.
let me just take a quick look at, is there anything else on my...
You know, that's kind of funny that you mentioned that about the black and white and one of my favorite outfits with Domino is when she has that sheer coverall.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when she's with Bond.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm like, I just realized like she puts on white to be with him.
Mm-hmm.
So she oscillates. I think it's by design. Like I would have to rewatch the movie because, like, you know, I just thought about and Google the outfits. But you know, I think it's obviously by design. I mean, there's another outfit that she wears where it's sort of she has a cut off part, but it sort of looks like the yin yang. Because of that, there were a lot of good costume choice for that character.
Don't you ever stop asking questions?
All right, change of tack. Have some of my conch chowder.
You've been reading the wrong books, Mr. Bond.
About conch chowder?
Being an aphrodisiac.
Well, it just so happens that I like conch chowder.
Oh.
Is that the black bathing suit that you're talking about? That's the one shoulder?
Yes.
That has the sheer... That's actually, to move into another trend, is the one shoulder look, the asymmetrical, that you see like the Sylvia Trench red dress with the one shoulder, and you see Domino's black bikini with the one shoulder, that sort of asymmetry with showing a little bit of skin that you'll see like in the earlier 60s.
That is an extraordinary look. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I have...
Oh, it's on my list. I don't even need to check.
It is. Where is she? Right. It's my number four. It's the Dr. No, Le Cercle des Ambassadeurs red dress that Sylvia Trench is wearing. First of all, it's great little... Is it a... What would you call that? A pin? Something that's holding the shoulder piece together? That's a beautiful piece right there. And it's such a beautiful color. And it really does exude what you've been explaining, Melanie, that it's time to get a little bit more risque. But there's still an elegance to it. It is so gorgeous. And I like the way she has her hair done. I like that. I like that do when they put their... What would you call it? It's not a bun? Or is it a bun? I don't know what you would call that hairstyle.
Well, her updo.
Updo.
thank you.
So extraordinary. She looks so exquisite. I absolutely adore that look. That's such a beautiful red.
That's kind of funny because her dress is also kind of the end of the 50s as well, because her skirt is that big circle, you know, the fluffy...
With the crinoline.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So you have a little bit of that new coming in, but it's still timeless in that 50s look. You know, what's really interesting is that dress was way too big for her. They actually had to pin, they had clothespins in the back of her dress.
Oh.
I think it was like a size 20. They had bought it from the shop. And it didn't fit her. And so they used clothespins to hold the dress together. So like in the scenes that she's in, she actually had to turn her body so they wouldn't see the pins.
Really?
On camera. Yeah.
It's interesting. There's a lot of creativity on that film because it's the one with the smallest budget. And they're sort of, sometimes they're working with glue sticks and popsicle sticks. That's fascinating. I had no idea. That's really cool.
Now, another reason to rewatch Dr. No. You know, watch it last week.
Yeah, it's never a bad time to watch it. But I will be paying attention to that, to her movement. We don't see her very much. It's funny that you bring up, Justin, the point about the dress being too big and it sort of opens up at the bottom. We see so many stills of that character, of that scene, when she's at the table looking across at Bond, because that's the moment where it's like, Bond, James Bond. So it makes sense that those would be most of the stills. It was, I happenstance had it that we had a Dr. No episode coming up, so it was sort of like two birds with one stone. And I replayed that scene, and I had forgotten that the dress opens up at the bottom. I thought it was more sleek than that, and I was like surprised, like, I thought it was more shaped, but again, it's almost if you go up to, you know, refill your water, you miss the 20 seconds where you see the dress open up like that. But that's good eye. I like
I mean, it's still very conservative too, because it's down to her knees, so it's still knee length. Mm. You know, I mean, I think as the 60s, as we progressed, it skirts got shorter, dresses got shorter. So that's definitely something that's kind of like the end of that era.
Too bad you have to go. Just as things were getting interesting.
Yes. Tell me, Miss Trench, do you play any other games? I mean, besides chemin de fer.
Golf, amongst other things.
More afternoon, then.
Tomorrow? We'll see now.
And we could have dinner afterwards, perhaps?
Sounds tempting. May I let you know in the morning?
Splendid. My number's on the card.
Hold on a second. Oh, would you look at that? I've run all out of fabric to finish off that pleated silk skirt I've been working on so hard. Looks like I'll have to put this little job to the side, go to the store and order more material, and continue this next week. That's right, listeners. This tailor-made for Ladies of the 60s episode is going to be divided into two parts. Part two will happen next week, next Wednesday. So please tune in a week's time for the dramatic conclusion to Tailor Made for Ladies of Bond. Oh, and while you're at it, since today is Wednesday, please don't forget that in a couple of days from now, on Friday morning, the latest Intrepid 007 podcast, hosted by Emery, will drop in the wee hours of the morning Eastern Standard. He will be concluding his Camp X trilogy. In this latest episode, Professor Xavier and Magneto go to X-Men Summer. Hold on, I'm reading the wrong notes. No, this latest episode pertains to the great mystery as to whether Ian Fleming actually attended, or visited, I should say, Camp X for espionage covert training session, as well as a little bit of a story about a Camp X museum and some of its more controversial museum display pieces and what's going on with that. So please tune in a couple of days from now for the Intrepid 007 podcast. Come back next week for the conclusion of Tailor-Made for the Lord, Ladies of the 60s. We do have people everywhere. www.thejamesbondcomplex.com. We're on Twitter at The Bond Complex, Facebook at The James Bond Complex, as well as Instagram at The James Bond Complex. We're hosted at anchor.fm. We thank them for their gratuitous services. We do have a YouTube channel. Search for The James Bond Complex, subscribe, and tickle us with a thumbs up button. And to listen to us, there is Anchor, there's Spotify, there's Google Podcasts, and my old friends on Apple. Search for The James Bond Complex, subscribe, write a review, preferably favorable, and please color those sad five little stars. Make them glowing golden gun, five stars, as a review. So on that note, merci beaucoup. Toujours un plaisir, à la prochaine. Hasta la próxima. Arigato matane. Daum jue boget samnida.
Please entertain Mr. Bond for me, pussy. I'll join you both later.
Well, how about it, handsome? Don't you think it's time we got to know each other socially?
Well, the new Miss Galore. Where do you hide your gold knuckles in this outfit?
Oh, I never carry weapons after business hours. Yeah.